Good morning, friends. To come from the hustle and bustle of Honolulu, where there's sirens and noise all of the time, it's just a real pleasure to come to Honoka'a, to drive up the coast and to be reminded of the nature, Carol, that you were talking about in your story. All around us, even in Honolulu, all around us is beautiful nature, but it's quiet here, and I love the quiet. And students, you have done a wonderful job of helping us to picture what it would be like to be walking on the sea of, by the Sea of Glass. What a wonderful picture you painted in your beautiful music. Thank you so much for, I would have driven all the way here just to listen to you today. This is my first time to have heard the bell choir, so I will keep that in mind when we have some more children's ministries events. Thank you for blessing us. Father God, again, I want to lift up my petition to you that it would be your name that would be glorified this morning. You have said that if you are lifted up, all men will be drawn to you. We thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity to be drawn closer to you in this quiet hour. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 12, 4 to 6 offers the words that I would like to leave you with today. If you think of nothing else that has been said, think of these words. Isaiah 12. Verse 4 says, "And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted." If we keep our eyes on God, if we keep looking to him, we will be optimistic because God has always come through with his promises. Have you ever known someone who sees the glass half full or who sees the glass half empty? There's a difference, right? If you have your trust in Jesus, you will see the glass half full. You will, indeed. Are there any twins here today? Do we have any twins? No twins. Okay. She is one of a twin. Okay, do you and your sister or brother, which is it? Sister. Do you and your sister always see things the same way? No, sometimes she thinks differently than you do. Not alike. Well, I am going to tell you a story about some twin boys who were not alike. One of them was very pessimistic, and the other one was very optimistic, just the opposite. The pessimist, it was their birthday, and Dad decided to just try a little experiment. So in the pessimistic boy's room, he put some toys that were new, lots of nice things that were new. And in the optimistic boy's room, he put some hay. Well, in the pessimistic boy's room, he was passing by after the boy had opened up his presents, and the boy was just crying and carrying on, "Oh, poor me." And his father went into the room, and he said, "Son, what is wrong with you? You have lovely toys here. You have nice things that I've given to you. Mom and I have put money into these nice things." And he says, "Yes." He says, "But they're going to just break. And my friends will all be sad because I have toys and they won't have any. And they're going to want them." And he was just crying and carrying on. "My friends are going to be jealous. They'll break my toys too. And some of them need batteries. And I don't know how to read, how to do the instructions." Nothing was right. He just complained. He had such a pessimistic view. So Papa went to the next door of the optimistic boy's room, and that boy was just slinging hay around, just, oh, having such a wonderful time and laughing and so joyous. And his father said, "Son, why are you so joyous because you have all of this hay?" He says, "Because somewhere in here there has to be a pony." This little story illustrates a truth. We can either be the master or we can be the victim of our attitudes. So let's not be the victim. Let's be the master of them, looking at things optimistically. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have every reason in the world to be optimistic. Great Controversy, page 555, says, "It is a law, both of the intellectual and the spiritual nature, that by beholding, we become changed." Our sister has mentioned that verse this morning, or that sentence this morning. "The mind gradually adapts itself to the subject upon which it is allowed to dwell." So, boys and girls, moms and dads, watch what you watch. Be careful of the things that you read. Be careful of the games that you play, because they do affect you. They do make a difference. A lot of research has been done to explain why there's a lot of violence among young people today. And it's because they're watching things that are not good for them. They're playing games that are destructive, violent. Those are things you want to stay away from. In the Canadian Northlands, there are two seasons, winter and July. Did you get that? In Alaska, winter and July. That means there's not very much nice weather, right? There's actually a sign on the road as you enter one of the highways that says, you know, in July, what happens? It melts. In July, it's going to be mucky and muddy, like West Virginia mud. I'm from West Virginia, and it's terrible. The mud is just like slime. And that's what happens in July in the Northlands. But then it freezes again, and those ruts that have been made by some of the cars become very deep. So there's a sign on the highway that says, "Driver, please choose carefully which rut you drive in, because you will be in it for the next 20 miles. So it is with our attitudes. Be careful not to get stuck in the rut of pessimism. Gratitude expressed makes a happier, healthier person. You have, if your mind is focusing on the things that are good, then it's going to affect your personality. It's going to affect your body. We've been admonished to give thanks, and that's excellent advice, but it's more than good advice. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ." Gratitude then is expansive. Those two words, "in everything," are very difficult, aren't they? In some ways, if he had said, "Be thankful in most things," that would have been a little easier for us to take. But he says, "Be thankful in everything." If he had said, "Be thankful in good things," well, that's easy to accept. But Paul says, "Be thankful in everything." It's interesting that there isn't a scripture that tells us to feel grateful. Feelings come and go, depending upon how much sleep you've got, if you ate too late and can't sleep well. Feelings come and go. And there's nothing in God's word that says that we should feel grateful. It appears that thanksgiving commands us to feel grateful, but it has nothing to do with feelings. Bad or good, you're still grateful. So you say, that's easy for Paul to say. Was it? Was it easy for Paul to say? I don't think so. Paul had to flee Thessalonica for his life. Paul was beaten. He was whipped. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned and left for dead. Yet he's the one that's saying, in everything, give thanks. Acts 16 tells us that Paul and Silas were in prison. They'd been scourged. They'd been whipped. And what were they doing? What were they doing? Singing. They were singing. They sang praises to God. So what does that mean for you and I? When things are down, does it help you to sing? Yes, it does, because it lifts you. It helps you to look to God, whence cometh your strength. So we want to break it down into two areas. There are only two. We're to be grateful for the blessings in life. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessings of the Lord bring wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. When you are his, you are automatically blessed. And if you are blessed, then you are rich." How about the everyday blessings that you have? The nature, the food, the water. I don't know. 2/3 of the world's population, I hear, go to bed hungry. 1/3 goes to bed starving. And 30 people die every minute because of starvation. Those are sobering statistics, are they not? And water, did you know that only 1/3 of 1% of the world's water is available to drink? 1/2 of the world does not have potable drinking water. And we are to be grateful for the burdens of life. Did I just say that? Remember what the verse says. Does it say, "For everything give thanks"? It says, "In everything give thanks." It doesn't mean that you have to be thankful for all of the trouble that you have in this life. Oh, thank you, Lord, that my washer just broke down and all the water is in there. That isn't what it means. It means to be in every situation, in every situation, not for every situation, but in every situation. Know that God is with you and will help you through it. He walks the valleys with you. He's right there listening to you. 2 Corinthians 4:15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the grace that is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound for the glory of God." That helps us to realize, as we studied in our lesson today, that we are chastised when we have made wrong decisions, because we can grow from that chastisement. We can grow to be better people. If we never had any trouble, would we be so apt to thank God all the time? Would we be so apt to not be in bad moods? Okay, I think so. I think God. So everything that happens to you is for your growth, for your help. God can use it for good, to move from despair to thanksgiving. There was a renowned Bible teacher. His name was Matthew Henry. On his way home, he was accosted by thieves, and the thieves took everything that he had. When he got home, he wrote in his diary 4 things that he was thankful for. After having been robbed of everything that he had with him, he found 4 things to be thankful for. Number one was, "I am thankful because I have never been robbed before. This is the only time." Number 2 was, "Thankful that although they took my money, they didn't hurt me or take my life." Number 3, "Thankful that though they took all I had, I really didn't have very much." And number 4, "Thankful that it was not I who did this job, but it was someone else. Thankful that I had not been the one who had robbed." So gratefulness is the mark of a growing Christian, not only the mark of a glowing Christian, but it is the mark of a glowing Christian. Psalms 92:1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." Having an attitude of gratitude will change your life. It shields you from pessimism and cynicism. You know, when a baby is little, they cry sometimes. And sometimes it's because they have colic, and they'll cry a lot if they have colic. And a mother can walk that baby back and forth and back and forth and think that the baby might be asleep and lay the baby down, only to hear him yell louder. A baby, we aren't going to chastise him for that. He's a baby. We love him. We care for him. But children do not normally have the thanks, and that baby's not going to look up to you and say, "Thank you for walking me for hours, Mom. I feel so much better that you walked me for hours." No, sometimes he cries even louder because he's hurting. A child has to be taught to be appreciative. It doesn't come naturally. It's a learned behavior. So, you children, your moms and your dads teach you to say, "Thank you," don't they? They teach you to be grateful. Gratefulness is also the mark of giving. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift from above comes down from the Father of lights." So if you are a grateful Christian, a growing Christian, a glowing Christian, you will also be a giving Christian. Thanksgiving is made up of two words, thanks and giving. You can give without being thankful, but you can't be thankful without giving. Your gratitude is expressed when you give. The concept is a good concept, and it's a true one. There's a story I'd like to tell you about a gentleman by the name of Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee lived in China in a place called Fuzhou. He was a gifted man. He was good at speaking, and he was in demand. People liked to have him come and talk to them and lead them to Jesus. And he was asked to go to another place called Tian'o to give a series of meetings for some people. It was a long way away, 150 miles up the Yangtze River, and he had very little money. At the time, he had $30. But he accepted the invitation, thinking, "Well, if God is asking me to go to Tian'o, then he will provide the way for me to go." So he accepted the invitation. 2 days before he was supposed to go, a gentleman knocked on his door, someone from his congregation, and he said, "I'm here to see if you could possibly help someone else in our congregation who is having some real difficulties. He needs $20. Would you be willing to help him?" First thing he thought of was, "Oh, 2 days, I'm supposed to go to Tian'o. It cost $80 to go to Tian'o. I have $30. I better keep what I have." But as the gentleman walked away, he called him back and he said, "You know, here's the $20. So how much did he have left? He had $10 left. The day came when he was supposed to leave for Tian'o, and he walked down to the harbor, took the ferry, the little ferry that took them over to the larger boat that was going to Tian'o. And as he was walking up to the boat, he said, "You know, Lord, I'm not asking you for the money to get me to Tian'o." He said, "I'm just asking you to get me there. In any way that you know, get me there." So as he approached the boat, another gentleman in a small boat right next to the big boat waved him down. He said, "Are you by any chance going to Tian'o?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "Well, I have one seat left on my charter boat here that I would be happy to have you use if you would like to." Well, charter boat, he thought, charter boat, expensive. The other boat, cheaper, even though it was $80. So he was expecting the man to say it was going to be a lot more money than what he could afford. And he said to the man, "Well, I'd love to go with you," but he said, "I probably couldn't afford it. How much are you asking to have that seat sold?" He said, "Would $7 work?" "Oh, yes, sir, $7 would work." How much money did he have left? $3. Off he went to Tian'o. Not only was he able to have a cheap seat to Tian'o, but he was able to strike up a conversation with the captain of this boat, and they became friends. And as he was on his way, 80 miles is takes a long time to get there, he had a chance to share Jesus and his love with him. It was just what the man wanted in his life, just what he needed in his life. So he went to Tian'o. He gave the series. Everything went well. People came to Jesus, and he was feeling that the Lord had truly blessed And he had now $1.20 left because he had to spend a little bit of money for some food. So he had $1.20 left, and it was the day when he was to go back home to Fuchong. As he was walking toward the boat, he said, "Lord, I don't need the money, but I just need some transportation to get home." Well, someone ran up to him that had been in the meetings, and he said, "Sir, I just want to thank you so much for bringing me to Jesus." He said, "It's been such a blessing to my life, and this is just a small thank you for helping me to know Jesus." So as he was walking toward the boat, he opened it up, and there was a small gift in there, a small gift of about $10. So he was approaching the boat, and he said, "Now, $10 is not going to get me there, but I'm going on faith, I'm going on trust." And as he approached the boat, lo and behold, the friend with the other boat was standing there. And he said, "Oh, hello." He said, "How are you doing? How did your meetings go?" And he said, "I wish I had a seat for you, but I don't." He said, I'm full going back." "Okay, Lord, that's not the way I'm going to get back." So he started to go toward the boat again, and he got stopped to talk with someone, and as he was talking with them, this guy was waving his arm, the same guy that said he didn't have a seat. He was waving his arm, and he looked over at him. He said, "Come on over here." So he went over, and he said, "The person that was supposed to go just sent a message that he is not going, so I do have one seat on this boat. Would you like it for $7? He had about $11.20. So yes, he had enough to go. Did God bless him? Did God take care of him in his time of need? Did he provide the money ahead of time for him? He provided everything that the man needed, didn't he? We can have the same confidence as he had to get us back to Fuchao or Honolulu or wherever we're needing to go. God will take care of you. Maybe not in the way that you expect it. Maybe not with great riches left over. Maybe with not enough food except for the day or the meal. But God will take care of you. Yesterday, I was in Hilo. I had some property to look at that is belongs to the conference, and we're going to sell it. So I was with a realtor, and I went and looked at the property with her. When I came back, I was hungry. I went to a new place that's just opened up in Hilo called the Honolulu. It's called the Hawaii. What? Anyway, huge plates of food, way too big. So I ordered my breakfast, and I took half of it and asked her for a box that I could put it in because it was way too much food. And as I was leaving the restaurant, I saw these two guys that were sharing some nuts. And I stopped at the light, the red light, and I heard them talking. "Well, now what do we do?" So I looked, I put my window down, and I said, "Would you at all be interested in some food that was left over?" I said, I'm telling you, I didn't touch this food. It was all cut in half and put in the box by the girl at the restaurant. Their eyes lit up, and their faces had big smiles, and they said, "Would we?" So they got the rest of that food. I don't know if I was giving them something that they absolutely needed, but I think so. And I pray that God will bless them to know that there are good people in this world who will take care of them, who will help them, not necessarily to give them everything they need. It's been said that if you teach a man to fish, he will be much better off than if you just give him a fish. So I leave with you today that God is willing to bless you in everything. So look to him. Don't give up your faith. We are living in troublesome times. We are living in times that people are struggling to make ends meet. People are unhappy with spouses. they are unhappy with children's choices. There are so many reasons to be unhappy and burdened. But Jesus has said, leave your burdens at my feet, and I will bless you. So, Father God, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you for the faith that you have given to each of us. A mustard seed size, may that faith grow into huge proportions. Because we know that troublesome times are coming, even more than what we have now. And we thank you, Lord, that we can praise your name, that your name is exalted above all others. In your name we pray. Amen.